Hello and welcome to the Atlanta Falcons Falconcast podcast. I'm Matt Moore. To my left is Jay Adams and Reed Farron. Hope everyone's having a great summer. Had a good 4th of July weekend. We're back to answer more fan questions. You guys doing okay?
Doing great.
Awesome. Great to be here, guys.
All right. Let's just open the mailbag right away. And we got a Divine Dragon 3DX. Go play some games with that guy, right? Do you think Paul Warlow will lead the team in tackles or possibly be a captain this year?
What better way to lead off the podcast this week than talking about Paul Warlow? I mean, this is one of the guys that, you know, everybody is excited about and wants to hear more about.
The All-American boy, right?
All-American boy. I mean, we talked on the last podcast about just good stories. I think we were talking about Tyler Starr, and you know, Paul's got an equally good story. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's an undrafted guy out of Delaware, didn't get a combine invite, had a good pro day. The draft came and went, and he didn't get selected. And then when the draft is over, he gets only one phone call from a team looking to sign him to an undrafted contract, and it was the Atlanta Falcons. And next thing you know, he's leading the team in tackles. I mean, you talk about great stories, that's a great story for Paul. But, you know, I think when you talk about a sophomore year, you wonder about do teams figure a guy out? Do teams, maybe because you don't know a whole lot about him because he was an undrafted guy, does that put you at a disadvantage as rookie year, and then maybe the next year you kind of figure him out and you're able to contain him a little bit better? I don't know that that's going to be the case with Paul. I really don't. The amount of work that he has put into this offseason to bulk up, to add weight. You know, we featured last week on AtlantaFalcons.com. He had a conversation with Alex Marvez, one of our mm-hmm. favorite guys, and Bill Polian on Late Hits on SiriusXM. And he was telling them a little bit more about his program and just everything that he's done this offseason, both in the weight room, on the field, and also in the film room. But I think adding 10 pounds is what he said, around 10 pounds that he's put on. So it's going to put him around 245 playing this year from 232, 235 last year. I mean, that's going to have a pretty big impact, I think, for him. So can he lead the team in tackles? I think now that Sean Weatherspoon is out for the year, and you're like, if there was ever anybody who was going to take tackles away from Paul, I would think it would be Sean. So now I see Paul as kind of being that guy who's going to be, you know, just roaming all over the place. My question, though, is how much is Croy Bierman going to affect that? What's the effect there? But really, when you talk about the defensive linemen you've got up front, those sizey guys are going to allow those linebackers to roam. And I like Paul Warlow out there just in space.
You've heard the phrase, pressure either burst pipes or make diamonds. Mm-hmm. I think Paul is all about responding to pressure and taking last season. And you said adding the weight, adding the strength, and he's going to maximize it this year. I think he's definitely going to make a standout player. His continued progression is going to continue in this 2014 season. Fans voted him the State Farm Player of the Year last year. He's going to take that. He's not a guy, I'm sure you guys can attest more than I can, that's just going to sit back and enjoy the success. You mm-hmm. know where he came from. He knows where he came from. He knows where he has the potential to go to. And he's working hard in the offseason. Training camp comes. He's going to hit the ground running.
That's
one thing, though. I don't think gaining 10 pounds in the offseason is that big a deal. I mean, I've done that,
right? Yeah, what are you up to? What do we got?
No comment. <right? laughs> All right, so next question is from UK Dirty Bird. I think we know where this question is from, the old UK. And what's the feeling about the UK game among players, coaches, and how do you think the game will affect the season? So he's talking about the London game, Falcons
October
versus 26, Lions,
yeah.
October 26th at 9:30 in the morning.
Here.
This time. So it'll be breakfast with the Falcons.
That's it.
I think that's what we'll be calling
Get
it.
Get your pancakes and Falcons.
Yeah. So it'll be like breakfast at Wimbledon or breakfast a little football. So I think fans will have fun with it. Jay, why don't you talk about, you know, the little travel, how it's going to work, and how you think the players and coaches will be affected by that.
Yeah, I mean, just from a personal aspect, I've never been to Europe before, so this is a huge deal for me personally. I cannot wait to come to your country. It's something I've always wanted to do. So, real excited.
That's Jay asking for you to, like, take him places as a tour guide, by the way.
Pints, so, right? Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. That's what we need to do.
There it is, kid. Big man.
So from a travel aspect, it's going to be interesting. I mean, it really is. To say that there's not going to be any impact, I think, would be completely telling you a lie. I think, from a logistics standpoint, we know our logistics folks here are working their tails off this offseason to get everything kind of figured out. But the way it looks is you play Baltimore in Baltimore before you go over to London. So what we're going to do is we're going to fly out of Atlanta, go to Baltimore, play the Baltimore game. After the Baltimore game, hop on a plane, jump over the pond, and get that week started. And it's going to be tough. I would imagine the first day or two being in the UK is going to be a little rough for both players and staff and coaches alike. And
one quick thing before Reed, I'll let you weigh in on this question as well, is one thing that makes me very confident about this game is how Coach Smith handles the West Coast games.
Yeah.
He does a really good job of making sure everyone's drinking water. He'll mm-hmm. come back on the plane, making sure everyone's taking water. He does a real good job of kind of keeping your clock what you're used to. He'll do the meetings around that, the meals around that, where you're not, oh my gosh, what time is it? I don't know. Your body. He keeps your body on the same clock. And look at our success on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Under Coach Smith, he's done a very good job of that. And I think that's something that, you know, you can take confidence in, that he's going to have everything prepared as we go to London on that.
Yeah, I think that is huge, because it's really going to test out his kind of penchant for routine. I mean, this is a coach that absolutely loves to be able to make every day as similar as possible. And I think it's going to be a challenge for him, but I think he's going to figure out a way to do it. I think getting up there Sunday night / Monday morning is going to help, because you get that extra time. You're up there an entire week doing practices and all that kind of stuff. So you're not just kind of flying up there and treating it like a West Coast game where you fly out 2 days beforehand.
You mentioned Coach Smith being a creature of habit. Players are no different. They are so routine driven. Like, they want to have breakfast at the same time, nap at the same time, weights, everything. And to your point, just Coach being all ready to have that logistically set up for them, I don't envision it being a problem. These guys are professionals. They're going to be excited to head overseas. But then, again, once the ball snapped, let's play.
And since this game was announced, just know our logistics, our equipment, our weight room guys, you know, the trainers, they've all prepared for this. I mean, it's going to be everyone. It's going to seem like just a normal game week, because everything these players are familiar with is already going to be there waiting for them in London.
Absolutely. And I think that's a very important point, is that ever since that announcement came is really when this staff has been working on getting all this stuff figured out. So I think the transition, at least from a player standpoint, I think is going to be as smooth as any trip that we go on. Now, another important thing to remember is that when you get done with that game and you fly back, you're on the bye week. Mm-hmm. So you're not thrust into another game week. You got some time to kind of prepare and get your body readjusted to, you know, coming back to the East Coast. But so as far as impact long term, I don't think it's going to impact the season. We've seen a lot of teams do this, and with some success. So I don't envision that being an issue.
Yeah, and once again, Jay was definitely pandering for someone in London to take him around and be his tour guide, all right?
Please, okay. I need to see it all.
Last question, our winner. So, like we said, no more bucket hats, but we will have a helmet, and it has to do with the question you asked. So from Trippy Hippie, great, great Twitter handles. I'm going to give a prize for the best Twitter handle next week, too. How many punt and kickoff return touchdowns do you think Devin Hester will make this season?
You know, hopefully a lot. I mean, that's kind of what you brought him here for. I mean, when you go and you spend the money on a Devin Hester and you bring in potentially the greatest all time at that spot, you certainly expect a lot out of him. And the Falcons have toyed around with a lot of different personnel groupings, both at kick return and punt return. We've seen a lot of guys touch the ball at those spots. And, you know, you see a lot of fair catches, or you see a lot of just not able to make anything happen. I think Hester changes that for you. He makes special teams another dangerous part of your game, and that's so important. We hear all the time from coaches, and I don't believe it's just coach speak, that the third phase of the game, special teams, is a vital part of winning football games, and I think Devin Hester gives you that edge. I mean, for me, I hope it's a lot, and he's got that record, and I'm sure you're going to talk a little bit about the record and who he's tied with currently.
Would love to see him break his buddy, his mentor, Deion Sanders' record touchdown return score. But the interesting stat here, looking at the schedule of this year's opponents for the Falcons, Devin Hester has 12 return touchdowns against the teams that are on our schedule in the 2014 season, including 4 against the Minnesota Vikings. So when we make the trek to Minnesota at Target Field or TCF Bank Stadium, I think Devin's going to be primed for a return there. So I'm thinking, you know, 8 to 10. I'm going to go with that.
Oh, nice.
That'd be great. No, and, you know, one thing I thought when you said he's tied with Deion, how fun would it be if he broke it that Thursday night Bucks game when Deion would be in the building?
Deion would be in the building. It'd be amazing. But you think about two great careers that would converge on one night. I mean, that would just be incredible. And I know that Falcons fans hold a special spot in their heart for Deion, who spent 4 years here. So, you know, he's part of the Ring of Honor. So, certainly would be a huge night for both of those guys to see that record go down. But I really think that he's just going to give you those opportunities. And whether he scores eight touchdowns or whether he scores two, as long as you have the threat, I think is super important, because you know that teams are going to have to bring their best on those coverage teams.
And get you guys' thoughts on this. Everyone talks about the return game, but kind of no one talks about the fact that they've said he's going to play wide receiver too. He's got to be a threat when he's, you know, kind of moving around in the slot too.
And that's one of the interesting things here is that, you know, you think of Devin Hester, you think of him as a returner. You don't think of him as a wide receiver. But the Falcons have been very diligent in trying to find where he fits in the offense. And I think a lot of fans are going to be surprised by the different folds and wrinkles that he creates and that they've created for him. Ultimately, I think you're going to see a lot more out of him offensively than I think you've seen at any other point in his career. But certainly, you know, the emphasis is on special teams.
When you go to a shopping mall, they put their best merchandise out front for everybody to see. Mm-hmm. So Devin Hester has a lot of goods to offer, not just kick and punt return. We talked about he's return a field goal kick for a touchdown. He can receive and catch and run the ball just as well as anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing is does he make other teams question whether they should take a shot at that long 55-yard mm-hmm. field goal if you know Devin Hester's back there waiting for the ball if you're short. I mean, it changes a lot of different things.
All right. Well, great questions as always, and congrats to Trippy Hippie for winning the Devin Hester signed mini helmet. I really just want to say Trippy Hippie Trippy again. Hippie, yeah. Said it three times now. So, thanks, guys. Great stuff, Reed. Great stuff, Jay. Thanks, everyone. We're just going to continue trekking on this summer as we continue the podcast next week. Thank you for tuning into this edition of the Atlanta Falcons Falconcast podcast.